Good morning. It's 8:17 on the ticket. Thursday morning with the Musers. We are on the road today at Heritage Auctions World Headquarters, one of our favorite places to do our show. We're doing our show in a candy store. They're in the middle of their Winter Platinum Night Sports Auction. You can bid on these items at ha.com. Gordo's going to take the wireless out here in a few minutes, talk to some of the P1s who've showed up this morning. Doors are open if you want to come by. Airport Freeway in Valley View, Heritage Auction World Headquarters. And we have breakfast for you here, I believe. We've got a ticket table with some merchandise set up, and you can check out some of these items on display in the lobby. And joining us now from Heritage Auctions is Chris Ivey, our old friend, who's with us every time we come out here. Good to see you again.
Likewise.
Sporting a mustache now, I see.
Yeah, it looks good.
I like it. It looks good on you.
Is this for Movember? You're growing the mustache?
A little late.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I kept it from that.
All right.
Yeah.
And Chris always takes us through some of the signature sports items that they have in the auction. This is the Winter Platinum Night Sports Auction, so can't wait to see some of this stuff. What do you have for us?
The first one I got is our cover lot. It's on the cover of the catalog, and you might recognize this image. This is a 1909 T206 Honus Wagner card, and this is one of only 70 that are known to still exist, and they're incredibly popular. This one's estimated at we actually sold this one before. This one belonged to Joe Garagiola.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. He was a collector, and as he liked to tell it, this was one of the best trades he ever made in his life, because another collector wanted Garagiola's uniform from the 1954 Giants that they won the world championship in. And so he traded his uniform and a few other things and acquired this Wagner card, and he kept it in his collection his entire life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we initially sold it in 2021 with his family, and it went for $2.5 million at the time.
Whoa.
And our estimate on this one is $3 million plus. And a PSA 1 example just sold last week for just over $5 million. So we expect this one will probably be right around the $4 million range.
And so this one is graded... It just says an A on it?
Right, for authentic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it doesn't have a number grade.
Doesn't have a numerical grade, because if you turn it up in the back, at some point it was in a pasted down into a booklet.
I see.
Yeah.
This is the most famous baseball card of all time, right? This Honus Wagner card?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like the inverted Jenny but this series when it came out, the T206 series was the American Tobacco Company was inserted these cards into their tobacco packages, 13 different brands. And wow. It was very expensive for them to do it, but it was very popular. They did it for 3 years. And Wagner, the reason there's only 70 of them known today is in 1909 when they started using his image. There's a couple different theories. One of them was that he didn't want kids using tobacco, but I don't really find that to be valid because he used tobacco his whole life and was pictured in later baseball cards with tobacco in his jaw. I think it was simply that he wasn't being compensated for the use of his image, and he just said, stop making the card. So,
that's wild, though, that they market to adults, and we always think of baseball cards as going to kids back in the day.
Yeah. It's interesting because these were popular with kids. I've read some books about this series, and the reason these cards go for so much is the T206 set. It's got 524 total cards in it, and there's a lot of collectors out there that try to put the set together, but only 70 of them can complete it to get a Wagner card. So
right.
If you want a seat at the table to collect the monster, as it's called, you got to get yourself a Wagner card.
Right. But this back to Chris. This is making me nervous having it over here.
Compared to other players, how many of another player would be in existence? There's only 70 Honus Wagners, but how many of the other guys?
So a Ty Cobb, for example, actually had four different cards in the set. And, as far as, like, the total population of what those cards are, it's got to be over 10,000.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, when these came out, this lithography and this process was very popular. And so, like, kids used to hang out outside of the tobacco stores, and people would come out, and they'd ask the people that just bought, oh, can I have your cards? And so, it was popular. They were in a lot of scrapbooks, and there's still plenty around today, but obviously the Wagner's one of the scarcest ones.
You know, when I think of Honus Wagner, I think of when I was a kid playing baseball, and my mom could only afford to buy me the black cleats, and everybody else had white cleats, and when I showed up to practice the next day,
the kids called me Honus Wagner. Because back then they all wore black cleats. So that's that. I have scars from childhood whenever I see a Honus Wagner card.
Better than Shoeless Joe Jackson, though.
Right. At least I had shoes. Very good.
What's the priciest card that's ever gone? What's the record right now?
Well, we sold the in our last Platinum Night a modern basketball card with Jordan and Kobe.
That's right.
For $12.9 million.
Whoa!
So that beat our own record of the 52 Mantle that sold for just over $12 million. Wow. And then, so those are the two highest sports cards, but those were beaten by a Pokemon card fairly recently that went for $16 million.
Logan Paul,
right?
Bought,
explain Pokemon.
Although that one
he sold,
that one included a gold chain and some diamonds.
That's
so
right.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he originally bought it and then sold it a few years later and tripled his money.
Exactly.
This item over your shoulder, I think, is just so exquisite. This Wilt Chamberlain jersey.
It's pretty incredible, especially when you consider. He wore it for every home game his rookie year, 1959. It's been the greatest rookie season of all time. I mean, better than Jordan, better than LeBron. I think he averaged something like 38 points, 26 rebounds. He won rookie of the year, and he won MVP of the league in the same season. So, you know, when Chamberlain came in the league, he just absolutely dominated like no one's ever seen before or since, really.
And do you imagine that thing has shrunk over time? Or
he was that small?
They wore him real tight.
I was going to say they wore him just really tight.
Tight shorts, tight jersey, and he was a thin guy. So this is how he wore it.
And so he only had two jerseys that first year, as we were talking with Mike earlier in the show, just a home and an away jersey. This is his home jersey,
right?
And so did he keep this, or was this the team? Preserve this, or did he give it away at the end of the season? What happened to this jersey?
That's a great question. He kept it, which is why it's in the hobby today. He actually sold it to a collector several decades back, I think in the late 80s. He kept his home, he kept his road. Both of them are still out, you know, in the hobby today. And so, this is the home example. And our estimate on it's $3 million plus. But what's interesting, you know, Cooper Flagg's first jersey just sold a few weeks back, and I think he wore three jerseys in his first game, and the one that sold for $1 million.
Oh my gosh.
And so if you think about that, if you extrapolate it out that he wore that jersey for, you know, one half of his first game, and Wilt Chamberlain wore this thing for for 30 plus home games of the greatest rookie season of all time, it's pretty incredible. This thing should go for $10 million if you work it out that way.
Yeah. So that's an investor probably paying $1 million for that Cooper Flagg jersey, hoping at the end of his career he's got a Jordan-like career and it's worth $10 million.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Which is, you know, what a lot of the modern collecting is you know, kind of speculating on how the type of career they're going to have.
Yeah. Thing. All right, what else do we have here?
I've got a really nice
ring
here. It's a 1969 New York Mets championship ring. And this is part of the Tom Seaver collection. This is Tom Seaver's World Series ring.
Wow.
And, we're working with his family. We're offering, a lot of material from his collection. This is the centerpiece of it. Our estimate on that one was $300,000 plus, and it's already at $500,000.
So. Wow.
It'll be fun to see where this one ultimately ends up.
Barely fits on my – I can't even get it on my ring finger.
I love that display over there for Tom Seaver. I didn't realize he was a George. He's George Thomas Seaver.
Oh.
So another George to pump up there.
Nice.
And won 25 games in 1969 and 10 straight at the end. So he was the big part of that incredible run that they made.
Absolutely. Yeah, he had an incredible year. I think he held held opponent 25 wins, I think 7 losses that season. Held opponents to a .209 batting average. So that's pretty dominant, yeah.
Greatness.
Won 3 Cy Youngs, one of them that year, and the MVP.
To me, he's a member of the White Sox pitching staff. I don't even recognize the whole Mets thing. I think he pitched for the Sox for maybe 2 years late in his career.
For the longest time,
loved him, though.
Didn't he have the highest percentage of vote in the history of the Baseball Hall of Fame?
He did.
First ballot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tells you his greatness.
Yeah. There's one really cool picture in this Seaver collection you guys are auctioning right now. It's got Nolan and Tom Seaver and Reggie Jackson all standing together, and they all gave rather long inscriptions to Tom Reggie and Nolan did.
Wow.
So you see the handwriting and those three greats. And I think it was like starting at like $135 or something, this framed picture signed by Nolan and Reggie and Tom Seaver.
That's cool. Yeah, Nolan and Seaver teammates that year, right?
Yeah.
69.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think Nolan was a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
Young come out of the
young
pen.
Nolan Ryan.
Back
mm-hmm.
for those Mets. These boots, some of us are interested, some are not.
I'm interested.
Wrestling greatness.
These are pretty iconic. If you grew up, I mean, I grew up a kid in the 80s. I loved WWF wrestling at the time. And so you definitely recognize these as the Hulkster's yellow wrestling boots. And what's really incredible about them is they've been photo matched to WrestleMania 1 in 1985 at Madison Square Garden.
Wow.
And
first one.
Yeah, yeah. So that's when Hulk Hogan and Mr. T paired up to fight Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. Wonderful, I think the other gentleman's name was. And yeah, no, just an iconic WrestleMania 1 photo match to that, and the Hulkster actually signed them, and he wrote, what did he write?
These are my real boots with my real blood on them from Madison Square Garden, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So very cool. And wrestling's interesting because, I mean, you know, it's picked up incredibly as far as collectors and the value of this stuff. I mean, even 10, 15 years ago, you know, these boots probably could have, you know, got
$5.
$5,000, $10,000, maybe something like that. But right now, I think the bidding on these is already over $100,000.
Whoa!
And you know, we it'll be interesting to see where they end up. Probably somewhere between $150,000, $250,000. But that's a big part of that is because they are photo mats to WrestleMania 1.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think it was necessary to have boots that high, Gordo?
It's great. It's awesome. And, yeah, I can see why wrestling would pick up in prices and stuff because all those people who were kids who grew up with this are now getting to the age where they have money to invest in something from their that meant something to them in childhood.
Yeah.
And there was no one bigger than the Hulk.
So there were snakes in the ring. That's why they had to have snake boots.
No, these aren't snake boots.
Oh, okay.
They're high because they have to have all that support for their ankles.
Right.
Well, and sometimes Jake the Snake Roberts was in there with his boa constrictor.
Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
True. You need them.
And we've got an Emmitt Smith jersey back here.
Yeah, this one's cool. This is from the 1996 season. It's from the first game in 96 when the Cowboys went to go play. It was Monday Night Football, and they unfortunately lost to the Chicago Bears at the time. But there was a play towards
the
end of
the
game.
Is that where he got hurt on the goal line?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah, good memory.
Wow.
Which is what I was going to show you the front here.
They had to cut it off of him.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's wild. I remember driving in the next morning, and I was really worried about Emmitt because, yeah, the last time we saw him, he was carted off the field.
That's right. Yeah, they had to stabilize his neck because he did. It was a play action, and he jumped over the line, and I think he was thinking he was going to, you know, kind of
land on some players.
Right, exactly. And he just kind of landed awkwardly on his shoulder and neck, and he didn't move for a long time. I think they were out there for 20 minutes and just getting him stabilized. So what's neat about this also is it comes directly from Emmitt. He's consigned, you know, we've got the Emmitt Smith collection as part of this auction. And so, yeah, this is something that he had in his personal collection. They cut it off of him. It's got his own Prova authentication on it. And, yeah, I think our estimate on this one's 30,000 plus. I think it's already sitting at 15, 16,000, something like that, but pretty incredible.
What about all the touchdown balls? Is he selling those yet?
He's sold a lot of them. Yeah, he's sold material from his collection over the last 15 years or so. So a lot of that entered the market a while back.
Because didn't he have a room in his house that had all of them lining the walls and glass cases?
Yeah.
That play turned out to be very symbolic. That was their first game after winning Super Bowl 30, and the franchise would do a head dive, basically, for the next 30 years. We didn't know it that night. But, yeah, thankfully, Emmitt was okay after that.
Absolutely.
Man, this is great stuff, Chris. Thank you for sharing it, and thank you guys, as always, for having us out here.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
HA.com, if you want to bid on anything. And check through the entire catalog, because there's a lot of items that are much more affordable than the ones we've just looked at.
He's already searched Oswald. Gordo has like 30 times.
I have. I've placed several bids.
Yeah, they gave us the hard version of the catalogs, and it's just, it's so great flipping through all this stuff. For a card collector especially, it's just amazing.